The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The Children's Hospital in the news again for all the wrong reasons, as Eamon was just telling us there. The budget now at about 2.2 billion expected, and the delivery date pushed out again to February 2025. Paul Cullen is with me, former Irish Times health editor. Paul Davis as well is a procurement lecturer at the School of Business in Dublin City University. You're both very welcome. We might start, Paul Cullen, before talking about where we are, by talking about how we got here. And if we go right back into the mists of time, I mean, when does this journey begin? When was there an identified need for a single children's hospital?
Yeah, you go back to the 1990s when it was first mentioned that perhaps instead of the three old buildings that they had in the city, that a bright, new, shining entity would be created. Now, there was opposition then from the existing children's hospital, so it was parked for about a decade. And then it was resurrected in 2005, 2006, when a bunch of consultants called McKinsey produced a report saying we definitely need a single world-class hospital. And they laid out various specifications for it. Inevitably, there was opposition to that at the time. There's a lot of medical politics. There's a lot of politics. And that escalated then in 2006, 2007, when the Mater was chosen as the site of this new hospital. And where was the Mater? It was in Bertie Ahern's constituency, the then Taoiseach. And of course, that brought it into the realm of the political football. There was huge controversy. There were resignations of people who were involved. But in 2011, several years later, following a review, the Mater was confirmed as the site. However, and this is where the overreach in design starts, the building that was proposed for the site, I remember the mock-up of it was a huge behemoth in central Dublin. And not surprisingly, it was refused planning permission. So that brings us up to 2012. And then there was panic again in the government. By now, the government had changed. James Riley was the minister. There was yet another review. And on this occasion, St. James's was chosen as the site for the hospital. Again, massive opposition. People said, you can't fit a hospital in there. And we were told that it was. Some people wanted greenfield sites. Private developers were offering land. Other hospitals wanted to site the new institution. However, planning permission did proceed. It took 4 years for that to happen. Again, more delays. So by 2016, they were ready to start construction. Now, I remember the Christmas of 2018. I was working over Christmas with Martin Wall in the Irish Times. Mm. And we ran a series of stories, first showing the rapidly escalating costs of what was happening. At that stage, we were talking about 1.4 billion, which just seemed monumental. So ever since then, that was 2018, we're now 6 years on. It's been a story of construction, yes, but rapidly rising costs. So from an initial estimate of about 650 million, it went to 1.4 billion, 1.7 billion.
So that 650 million, when was that estimate? At what point
goes back to when the planning permission was either sought or given. So about 2013.
So 650, though, for that St. James's site, for what we have today being built.
Yeah, so and we're now at 2.2 billion. And, you know, people say it's the most expensive hospital in the world. It's probably not, but it's heading that direction. We're not there yet. Can I just say as well that this is a game of two halves. The first is the construction of the hospital, is the building of a box.
Yeah.
And the second is the amalgamation of the three, or now two, existing hospitals in Dublin, of all those people, of all those rivalries, of all those overlaps. And that in itself is going to be a challenge.
And has that been delayed, that process, that body of work, because there's been delays in the construction?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So nothing that's continually getting long-fingered. Yeah.
So the building has to be finished and then it has to be commissioned, and that will take 6 months. So everybody has been waiting for years.
Yeah.
And all those, the existing hospitals, as you know, people who are listening to this have probably donated to services in Crumlin or in Temple Street, which shouldn't have been needed by now if the hospital had been ready, but are still in existence. And some people think they need more investment because there's scepticism that this thing is going to just run and run.
Paul Davis, part of the reason for the inflation in price is just the general inflation in the economy and this kind of construction inflation as well, that, you know, everybody from building a kind of a three-bed semi up to a children's hospital will suffer, and that's been an issue. But there's issues specific to this hospital and the contract as well, aren't there?
Yeah, the very specific issue is that we didn't have a design when we went to market. We literally went to market and said, here's an outline design of what we want. And so the bid that came in at 650, as we pointed out, was the lowest bid that we got. It was a price-dominant competition. I think 700 of the 1,000 marks going were price. And the nearest two bidders were in around the 800 million mark on the competition.
So, sorry, what were they promising to deliver then for 650 if there was no design?
An outline design. So that all they could do was cost on the outline design that they had. And the problem with an outline design is it's like, here's four walls of a house.
Okay.
But I can give
basically,
you a rough
estimate. We could build a children's hospital to fit X amount of patients and staff on that site for this.
And that was the issue that then rose, because literally what you've got is a change in design as you've gone on each year. And the reason, and Paul put it nicely, with 1.4 billion hitting 2018, was also an underestimate of the level of inflation costs that were going to be there. So in the contract, I think it says 4 to 7%. It rapidly, in around that period inflation. Of time, we went, inflation hit 11, and building inflation itself got up to 28, 30%. So you had lack of design, and then inflation hitting home, and then you have this escalating design concept. I think the other part that Paul mentions, though, is an interesting one, is that you have also this medical intervention of the designers. You have users, customers, people on the ground who are going to be using the hospital, part of that design process. So people are asking for changes. So the level of changes that you got inside it, and nobody wants to talk about this, is enormous. You wouldn't see it anywhere else. And that opened up the possibility that costs were going to escalate.
Well, can I ask about the design concept? Because it's a fabulous looking building. I think so. Some people might disagree. I like the look of it. But we had the Minister for Health in here relatively recently talking about new elective hospitals being built. And he made a very, very specific point about them being square and having straight lines and not having curved walls. And it was hard to avoid thinking of the children's hospital.
I don't know the physical layout internally, so let's start with that. But let's go with the physical layout that we have. I think it's 300 rooms, 380 rooms that are actually individually. They actually have to be resourced that we don't have in current hospitals that volume at this point in time. And I think, Paul, you could probably comment on the medical resourcing required
for
that.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, I mean, the government sent out a message. We are going to build a project for the ages here. They're a big statement project. So what kind of message does that send to the people who provide that? It's a charge top dollar. They know that the politicians won't renege on their problems. They know that they'll end up having to pay it one way or the other. So top dollar is what we're paying. We're getting a building really high spec. I think it looks great too, but we're paying for it. Every room is single occupancy, as that's good, but that means higher staffing, be higher running costs as well. So the level of spec is getting in the way of the delivery of what is an essential upgrade to our health infrastructure.
And is there an acknowledgement kind of behind the scenes in political circles that they got that aspect wrong? Like, is there a sense of regret?
Yeah, I have some. I have sympathy for the current government. They inherited something that had its genesis going back 10, 20 years. And when the controversy, as I say, erupted after 2018 over the rising escalating cost, they put their heads down. They made sure the development board was given the one job, just build a box. That's the box we're talking about, the building. And transparency went out the window. They don't publish minutes on their website anymore, anything like that. And I can understand why, because just get it built. But unfortunately, even I thought that the last deadline that said it would be ready by the end of this year would actually be true. And I am surprised to find that yet again it's slipping into next year. And then you have to go back to, and it's murky, I don't know, the relationships between the main contractor, BAM, and the board that is building it, and all those legal claims that are flying around.
I think we've got to be careful, because what's happened in the last few months and even few years is we've demonised the builder. The builder got an instruction from the procurement people in terms of what to build. And what happens is we demonise the contractor coming in. And I'm not defending the contractor, but at the end of the day, demonising the contractor for poor procurement procedures, for poor design, is actually missing the point.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for future projects that we don't look at the market and suddenly say we're paying top dollar. We paid it because we asked for that. Mm. We went out and looked for it. That's the problem that we have, not the builder. The builder, if that's what you ask him to deliver, he'll deliver whatever you want.
And BAM, the maligned, it is true, contractor, is busy building other projects for the state, and there don't seem to be the same level of problem.
Yeah. Paul, to a degree, I mean, is there any element of, what do they call it, Monday morning quarterbacking about the procurement process? You know, like, or should people in advance have looked at this and said, wow, sorry, this is a minefield that we're wading into?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the simple answer is, as you look at it, the answer is yes. I mean, go back to the way that you phrased what the minister said. The minister said, we want to build a box. The answer is, we want to build a box and we want to build it to deliver services. And that's what we were doing. The priority was the delivery of the services, not the design of a building. And we mistook that. And the procurement, in whatever decision was made, in the way that they made that decision, mistook what they were buying. They were buying the delivery of services and a box to deliver those services. They weren't buying the aesthetics that went with it. And that's part of the issue that occurred.
Will it be good value for money in the long run, though? Even at 2.2 billion?
No. I would agree with Paul. The running cost of this is going to be enormously high. I think we're looking at another Tallaght Hospital situation in 10 years' time, with HICWA coming in, looking at the problems of different staff coming in, trying to mix together, different cultures trying to mix together. And I hope, I really do hope, that there's not an issue that we saw with Tallaght in terms of when HICWA went in and investigated, I think it was 2012, because of these governance issues. I have a real fear that you've got Temple Street, you've got Our Ladies, two very different cultures in the way they operate, having to be combined. Mm. And we have huge expectations. This is not to malign the staff. The staff will be doing everything in their power, but we have a huge expectation of them being able to do that with a lot of pressure.
Yeah, the number of beds was estimated over 10 years ago. The population has shot through the roof thing. So it's quite likely that it will hit capacity fairly quickly.
God, perish the thought. And then what? But even in terms of the beds and staffing of the beds, is there enough staff in Crumlin and Temple Street at the moment to satisfy the demands of the new children's hospital? Again, I'm just conscious of the Minister for Health on this show yesterday talking about the 3,500 beds that they've announced to open by 2031 and all the staff that are going to come with it, and
some staff
aspiration that, yes, we're going to be able to hire all these people. Yeah. I mean,
the numbers are large. I mean, staff that I've talked to in the existing children's hospital, many are enthusiastic and want to go there. Others are, after the pandemic, they're somewhat burnt out and they're thinking about retirement, so they're not going to make the move. You know, so it depends. So there's going to be a big need for new staff to come in. And where are those staff going to be accommodated? Mm. Teachers, nurses, find it difficult to exist in the capital on their salaries. We know that is a wider problem, and that's one that's going to apply here in Dublin 8.
The delay and the impact, not just on the delivery of services, we're impacting the staff's lives who are trying to plan around where they're going to locate, where they're going to be bringing their kids from school to school. Mm. I mean, these knock-on effects have to be demotivating for anybody who's sitting in the hospital system working there at the moment.
Yeah, it will be a great hospital.
Yes, but possibly too small by the time it opens.
Yeah, it will be a great hospital, I think. I don't want to be totally negative about this. It is actually, to remember, it's a hospital with no name. Even after all of this, it still doesn't have a name. They spent six figures working up the name Phoenix, which was then rejected. So it still hasn't got a name. And there are worrying gaps in the management of Children's Hospital Ireland at the moment, which they're trying to plug, because people thought this would be ready and then they moved on to other projects.
I quoted him earlier, I think it was Danny McCoy of IBEC I first heard put it this way: the only thing worse than the 2.2 billion euro Children's Hospital is a 2.2 billion euro Children's Hospital without children in it. So at least we will try to get to that point by the end of next year, maybe. Paul Cullen, former Irish Times health editor. Paul Davis is a procurement lecturer at the School of Business in Dublin City University. Thank you both very much for joining me. If our company did this, we'd be thrown off the job faster than we got it. The government should have wrote the contracts better. A text in relation to the Children's Hospital, 2.2 billion and counting, February 2025 and counting, in terms of a completion date. How many lessons do we need to take before anything gets done on budget in this country? Yes, costs are expensive, but the National Children's Hospital. But when it's up and running, it would be saving children's lives every day. Let's not forget that. And Deck says, over the top design on an unsuitable site announced by an overeager Minister of Health just to get a headline, catching designers and health officials off guard, rush design and issuing of building contracts. Deck, thank you. 087 1400 106. Catherine Murphy is with me, Social Democrat TD for Kildare North and Deputy Chair of the Public Accounts Committee as well. Catherine, you're welcome to the show. I mean, this is something you have long talked about, long protested over, long campaigned on. 2.2 billion euro now, February 2025, a completion date. That doesn't mean there'll be patients in the door by then. It'll be several months later. Do you even have faith that that is the completion date?
No, we can't have faith in that, because what we heard this morning was that that is the contractor's estimate, but he has not given the detail of how he expects to get to February. And that paperwork is still outstanding. That's the, you know, obviously show it's a substantially complete documentation that's needed. The other thing that we heard was that there was, you know, there's 1,150 people on site. But when I asked, you know, what should it be, we were told that was 40% below what it should be. And, you know, then again, drilling into, you know, whether or not I'm convinced by that date, I asked about the number of rooms or spaces that were fully complete at this stage. Now, there's 5,560 rooms or spaces, and 60 of those are fully complete. 1,600 are a good way towards completion. That leaves 4,000 still to be completed, and they're at various stages. So there's an awful lot of work still to be done here. And, you know, we have to, like, the people, the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board couldn't give us a guarantee that February would be, you know, the definitive date for it to be handed over. It still requires 6 months of commissioning after that. But there's an awful lot of work there, and it's just like, this is the fourth time they have been in front of the Public Accounts Committee in recent years, and like, it's just infuriating. And I think the point that was being made by one of the callers there, like, this benefit for the children of Ireland has been, you know, is substantially behind in terms of the care that children will get in this hospital. And the other points that are being made in relation to not nailing things down, not having sufficient penalties included in the contract, is a huge part of this. Plus, there's been a significant number of modifications or changes that all cost money as well.
We had Paul Cullen, formerly of the Irish Times, and Paul Davis, the procurement lecturer, in studio a few minutes ago, and they were talking about this. And they both said, listen, it'll be a great hospital when it opens, but they also acknowledged that it might be too small quite quickly after it opens, given how much the population has grown since the design was completed, albeit those continual changes to the design. And they acknowledged that one of the big bodies of work hasn't even started, and it's amalgamating the operations in Crumlin and Temple Street. I mean, we're going to be talking about this for years to come, aren't we?
We are. And the thing about it is that there are other things to play out at the end of this contract, even from a financial point of view. And that will be that there'll be some disputes that will end up in the courts. And there's one already in the court. There's another one that's pending in the court. So like, even in terms of knowing how much it will ultimately cost. So I know government, when they allocated an additional 512 million to this project earlier this year, stated that, you know, this was the last money that this government will give. But that's this government. And essentially, we know that we'll be going into a general election within the next 9 months or so. So, like, will the next government have to allocate more money? We don't know that. But, like, even asking now what, you know, when you start talking about what lessons you will have learned, I mean, the same thing could happen with the National Maternity Hospital, because, like, I asked whether or not, you know, past performance will impact on the tendering process, and I was told no, it doesn't, and so essentially, basically, we could be talking about the same contractor in a different hospital in years to come. And this is just madness. But we do absolutely have to nail down penalties. For example, we were waiting for the substantially complete documents for months, about a year and a half ago. And essentially, the National Paediatric Hospital Development Board were constantly putting pressure on to get those documents that were legally required to be provided.
Yeah.
And it was only when they threatened the withholding of payment that materialised. And here we are again looking for the same documentation. And, you know, the point I was making was, why aren't you using the non-payment penalty? They're telling me it has to go through a process, and that may well happen, in the near future. But okay, we have to have penalties within contracts if you're going to get them over the line, and if the contractor is going to make sure that there are sufficient people on site to get the project over the line.
Catherine Murphy, Social Democrat TD for Kildare North. Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.